You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened. Does that blow your mind? Better. What's up? Welcome in. It's In This League. Scott Bogman, Chris Welch, doing everything the announcer just said. Why do we need robots doing voices, Bogman?
What's even I don't know. I need robots doing many things.
Yeah, but what's the point of having them up on here telling us, you know, all the stuff when I do all of it? Welcome in. It's In This League. 3 hours of fantasy goodness. 3 hours. Well, I mean, I don't
if
know
you're
if
trying to
good.
Say that a robot can replace you, the Welsh, I just they can't.
No, I don't know many robots that apparently can sound like a 50-year-old. I was told, Bogman, I was told on Twitter because on our baseball show, I lamented about just my overall girth and how big I am in this world, and it's a problem. And I found this because, well, because I was put to the test and went out and did some batting practice with the Diamondbacks. No big deal. No big deal. apparently, it was senior day at the Diamondbacks, and I did that.
And discount on breakfast. Yep. That's nice.
And there were pictures that were put out, and like they did media pictures, and they sent them to me, and I saw them, and I said, well, this is where I got to decide how much further I'm going to live in this world, because how I look doesn't look like I'm going to be here for much. I'm not for this world. And it was very depressing, and you have that realization of like, well, I look a certain way. I think I look a certain way. I sure don't.
And I mean, it happens every time. Like, you get ready, you look in the mirror, you're like, all right, you know, that's fine. And then someone takes a picture of you, and you're like, what the hell? You lying mirror. The mirror never tells the truth, ever.
No. They're the worst, by the way. They're the worst. Yeah. So, we go on, and I'm lamenting about that. And then, I've never even heard this before, but someone on our podcast was like, I mean, the Welsh was, he literally tweeted, the Welsh talked about how fat he was, so I got really curious. Apparently, I talked about it so much that it became a thing. I became like a search engine. You know, like when someone mentions like, hey, you see that Instagram model and you're like, oh yeah, Lindsay Pellis, let me type that in. Like that was me, but on the opposite end, someone wanted to ogle me for all the wrong reasons. But in there throws a dig about, when I was doing my research, I didn't realize you were young. Thought you were over 50, and I was like, what? Over 50?
I think it was because, like, he said, like, you were talking about how fat and out of shape and old you are, and then I go on to see what he looks like, and, you know, you look like kind of a middle-aged normal guy, so
you don't look like a
50. Well, I mean, 35. Yeah, I guess you're 34 for another, what, a month? Months.
Yeah, April. I don't know, man. I'm having a whole realization of my life. I don't feel how I don't feel I look the way I look. I don't feel the way the age I am. When I hear, like, you just said middle age, and I just wanted to curse you out and say a bunch of horrible things, like losing a bet, essentially. Like, you and I have talked about, you know, the bet that we would lose, and the whole show was just going to blow up into a whole bunch of bleeps. But then I have a realization that's like, no, actually, that's, like, I am. I'm, like, kind of middle-aged. I'm, like, 35. I don't think I look how I look. It's a horrible revelation. I shouldn't be having this on the air either.
Yeah, well, you know, it's that whole thing of, you know, we're almost out of the target demo. You have it for 2 more months. I'm already out of it. It's 18 to 34.
Yeah.
They don't want anything to do with 35-year-olds. Like, all right, if you can get those fatties, yep, fine.
Yeah,
we want 18 to 34.
Fat middle-aged men, there's not a demo that they're looking for unless they're trying to sell, well, weight loss products or, I mean, any food-based products. Again, we're building sponsorships here. Why we don't have one of those, like, food crates? And crate is probably the good word
for
us.
How Carl's Jr. has not reached out yet.
I don't know.
How has Carl's Jr. not reached out? And they said, look, you know, we see how you guys look, and clearly. Or to you, Culver's. You have talked up Culver's more than I've never seen one Culver's commercial in my life ever. You talked about them more than anything.
I don't know. I mean, I can't deal with Culver's right now. Me and Culver's can't be friends right now. All of that aside. All of what I look aside, please stop searching me. That's all that I want you to do now. And when you search Chris Welsh, by the way, you get like a 1970s baseball player with a good old porn mustache. So you don't need to look up me.
Do you remember the first time you looked up to see what a local DJ looked like? And you were what?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It's very disheartening. And people, really not even in a nice way, have done that with us, where I have literally, I remember somebody, like, when they saw a picture of us at a Diamondbacks game, and, you know, I tower over you. Like, you're, like, 5'2", and I'm, like, 6'6", six or 6'4", and you're, like, down there. You know, maybe, okay, realistically, you're like...
Why are you giving yourself 2 more inches and taking inches off of me?
Well, I mean, you know, an inch is an inch. I know it's important, but 6'4", you're, what are you, 5'7"?
5'8".
5'8", okay, 5'8". I've only known that forever. 5'8", 6'4". And someone was like, wow, I really thought you were like, to me, like 5'9", because of how you talk. And I was like, how does my voice translate to like a 5'9"? And he thought it was like some like skinny.
Well, we have high-pitched, you know. We have high-pitched voices. We've been told that. Dude, I had a guy during the draft tell me last year, I'm going to die soon because I'm obese.
I'm not laughing at that. It was most absurd.
I mean, you kind of are because it's funny, but it's also ridiculous. Well, like, how can you just feel comfortable saying that to another person you don't know?
I just had somebody want to like literally stop what they were doing in their day.
He's not wrong, but it still hurts my feelings.
No, it's hurtful. This guy wanted to stop his day to go find out exactly how fat I was. Like, that's what this guy wanted. He's like, well, how fat really is the Welsh? I'm going to have to do some detective search. While I'm doing it, let me make sure that I tweet, is it the Welsh? Let me make sure I'm tweeting him to let him know I'm looking at how fat you are. And also, by the way, thought you were almost ready for retirement.
Hey, you're not as fat as you said, but you sound old. How about that? Is that good?
Yeah, totally great compliment. But no, but you're right. We've had that. Like, it's an incredible what images people have put on us, or anyone you listen to, because you're right, you know, you hear the beat, not our voice because we're high pitch idiots, but you hear some like deep voice, like a Nando voice, you hear like Nando talking or whatever. And you know what's so crazy?
It's just skicks.
Nando looks how you think he'd look. He's an attractive human being who is a normal shape, but like 90% of the time, like, you're listening to your local radio station and you're like, on 104.7, we'll be right back after the break, and it's some pig behind the microphone. I'm trying to think of who the guy is.
Why are you supposed to look like David Hasselhoff and you look like me?
There's like a guy that it's in every movie. I feel like you know when I start to describe him. He's like small. I think he's British. He's got a rat face. He's at least 250 pounds and he's like 5'5". And he's in lots of those movies.
Oh, my God.
I wish I could figure out who he is. But like,
he
that's
has a
how,
rat face and he's 5'5" and 250 pounds?
His nose is kind of up. His teeth are kind of ratty. And he's in a bunch of movies.
All I can think of is Henry Waxman.
Okay, picture Henry Waxman, but then add 100 pounds to him. I swear to God, that's the guy, and that's what all DJs look like. I don't look like him, but I look like him, just stretched out.
Well, there was a That 70s Show that was about that. It was, you know, what's his name? Topher Grace got all upset because they kept calling what's her name, Laura Prepy, on Hot Donna at the station. Oh, look, it's Hot Donna, and she doesn't have a boyfriend, and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, here comes out of the booth, you know, the guy who played Booger in Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah, he's like 5'2", you know, and hasn't shaved. And he's like, hey, we're going to play Magic the Gathering here after the show.
It's
you know?
Ridiculous. And I mean, we don't ever get great names like that. People are probably like, hey, look, there's Pig Bachman and Shrek Welsh. You know what I mean? It's like ridiculous.
We look like if the twins from Twins, remember when it was young Arnold Schwarzenegger and youngish Danny DeVito? Yeah. We look like if they were on cholesterol medication. That's so, exactly what we look like.
I like that you're Danny DeVito in that too.
Well, I mean, I look like Danny DeVito anyway. So
now you got much better hair.
I do have much better hair. Dude, I already have a full fro going. You're gonna see it at the game that we go to. Giant fro going already. Remember, I shaved my head in October with balding shears down to a zero.
You're making me laugh and choke here. All right.
How I
drink
get
some water. All right. So, besides us being fat and old and apparently and whatever. There's a lot to cover here. We've got 3 hours of this, so sorry. You're going to have to deal with the rest of this.
10 minutes of how fat and old we are, by the way.
It's incredible.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Good radio personalities. If you're still listening, ooh, we're even better than we thought. But coming up in the next segment.
Jesus, are you going to choke?
I'm choking. I'm sorry. I'm old. I'm 50 years old, and I'm 400 pounds.
Look, we've gotten compliments, too. I remember the best compliment I got was from Yancey Eaton. He's like, dude, you have the coolest voice. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you. You're like the only person that thinks so, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, to me, that's condescending. I hear that, and it's like, oh, yeah, you like
just
it.
You just can't take a compliment. So
I don't know what the last condescending.
Everyone's insulting you. It's everything's horrible. Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what the last compliment I ever got was.
Yeah, it's because you didn't take it as a compliment. You're like, oh, they must be sarcastic. They complimented me.
Well, yeah, I mean, usually.
You're very tall, the Welsh. That's a compliment,
thanks.
Right?
That's great. Yeah, that's great. No, but like.
Is that just a fact? I mean,
think about this. No one says the only pieces of advice or that's not what I'm trying to say, but like the only things anyone ever says about your voice is it's high pitched. That's all that ever happens. No one has any compliment. And then one person comes out and is like, that's like the coolest voice. I'd be like, nah, you're just being condescending because it sounds different than everything. And it, you know, and I assume you're saying something horrible about me.
You need therapy. I mean, just take a compliment, you know, Everyone has said, I mean, everyone needs therapy, but everyone has told me my voice is high, and I understand that, and I don't really care. What can I do? It's my voice. You know, I'm not gonna talk like this, get radio guy voice for everyone here.
Yeah.
I'm not that kind of person. I can't do this for 3 hours, the Welsh.
I don't so, want you whatever. To, actually. No, come back here. I'm comfortable with
your
voice.
Yeah, my voice is my voice. I don't care.
Yeah.
So,
you know what would be...
one person likes it, and I'm going to take that and take it to the bank.
You know what would be fun, though? Good. Would be to have like listeners that have never seen us or even like any pictures of us.
Pick out who is who?
No, not do that. Oh. I want like, the drawings, like that you go to a police station and like the sketches of like what a person looked like. Like I want a sketch artist version of what you and I look like based on our voices.
Can we give away like, well, I mean, no one's going to do this anyway, but you want to give away like, 5 descriptive lines of your face?
Well, I mean, no one's going to do this. Sure. I have a nose, a mouth, eyebrows.
What is your nose like?
I don't know. I mean, it's a little... I hate it. It comes down just a tiny bit. It comes out. It's not a pig nose. It kind of comes out like a bird, and then it kind of curls down just a tad bit. I got a little bit bigger eyebrows, which I hate. I have small lips, by the way. That's something I've noticed
about
myself.
Right.
I got small, well, like really small lips. And then I got kind of Stallone eyes. So that's the drawing that someone can do. That's true.
I can't wait. I hope people draw this. All right. Let's see. I have a kind of crazy person eyes a little bit.
Yeah, I
have
that.
I have freckles. I have big cheeks. Very, very big cheeks. I don't know. My nose is like, I don't know, normal. It's not big. It's not small. It's just kind of normal. I have a goatee and a bit of a unibrow sometimes. If I don't remember to hit it with the shaver, bit of a unibrow, a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going to come out looking like the Geico caveman. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe like when you were younger, who's the kid that did the like the in the Goonies? The belly?
Feldman?
No, not Corey Feldman.
Chunk.
Like, if Chunk grew up but like got skinnier.
Okay. Yeah. By 5 pounds.
By five pounds.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know. No one's gonna do it though, so it doesn't matter. Who's
I hope
right
someone
now?
Does it. No one will, but I hope someone does it. It would be really funny to
You know
see
what if they do? We should then have that person on the show to talk about the process of drawing these sketches.
Yeah, this guy's going to be like, basically what I did was I drew the Geico caveman and started taking hair away.
I just drew 2 big circles with eyes around it, and I felt like I was in the right territory. So we've essentially burned a segment here. Let's set the table for what's going on. Next segment, for the next couple segments, very, very special guest. We've got Vlad Sedler. Very, very, very good follow on Twitter, RotoGut, and he's a high-stakes fantasy player. You want to be following that. And really, I mean, we've been buddies with Vlad for just a little bit, and I spent a little bit of time at one of the Arizona Fall League games. But you can catch his stuff over at RotoWire Guru Elite DFS. So I mean, we're talking a hardcore DFS player, FSWA, all that awesome stuff. You're looking at Tout. You want to look at Vlad. Vlad's going to be joining us here in a little bit. I'm very excited to talk about some high-stakes fantasy stuff, as well as he's got some hot takes, which we want to get on some of those hot takes.
Hot takes.
And we just got a whole show of stuff to talk about. Baseball has returned. Baseball is back in our life. I remember just yesterday waking up and then having this realization, I get baseball. I mean, I get baseball almost until the end of the year, but we are going to have baseball for the next, what, 6 months, 7 months?
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I mean, it goes through until October, so.
It's an incredible feeling. It is an incredible feeling that baseball is back. Spring training's in action. We're out here in Arizona, and we are going to be out at games Monday. We're going to be out at, what are we seeing? We're seeing the White Sox and the A's, which is going to be fantastic. We'll be tweeting about it. So when you're trying to, you know, look and see how old and fat we actually are on Twitter, you can search, is it the Welsh and Bogman Sports? And you can also get some of our spring training antics as far as if we ever catch up with players or just the crazy stuff that happens in games. But we are going to be talking about fantasy baseball. We got our book. We got player debates. Fantasy football. What are we talking about? Fantasy basketball? I don't know. I don't know if we have enough time. Little Home Depot. I don't know if we're going to be able to get it all in one show, Bogman. We only have 3 hours.
Yeah, only 3 hours, so we'll see what we can get, but we'll get to as much as we possibly can.
All right, well, don't go anywhere. We're going to be coming back here in just a little bit. Vlad Sedler, as I said, Roto Gut, talking DFS, talking high stakes, fantasy baseball. I mean, you get to play DFS baseball. That's very exciting, not for us, but very exciting for the rest of you guys. So don't go anywhere. This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Your boys, Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, coming back at you for more on the other side of this break. We're back.
Play it.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face?
Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In This League.
Welcome back. It is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you very much for joining us as we were... I really would love ratings on how we were able to successfully waste an entire segment. We wasted... one full segment, really not talking about anything. We're becoming the Seinfeld of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, just talking about how old and fat we are and how people are judging us.
We lamented someone making fun of the Welsh on Twitter for an entire section.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that for an hour. Trust me, I could go. Someone asked me the other day, by the way, that just started writing. They're like, hey, you know, I was just curious, when is the point like where a comment doesn't bother you? And I was like, don't ask me. Ask somebody else because everything bothers me.
So. We're not a good duo for that because it's like it always bothers you and it never bothers me. So yeah. It's like, you know, whatever.
Go ask anybody else. But on the program now, I'm excited to talk about fantasy baseball, and I'm very excited to delve a little bit into the world of high stakes fantasy baseball. We teased this on our fantasy baseball show. We did a great episode, and if you didn't get a chance to listen, I highly suggest you do. Well, we called it Projections, and we did it with Rob Silver, and we teased the idea of talking about high stakes fantasy baseball because I think it's a good realm to kind of delve into. And one of the best people that we could possibly have thought to bring on agreed to come on with us. It's our buddy Vlad Sedler. Roto Gut is the Twitter handle, and you can find him over at Guru Elite DFS. I know it's a great one. Vlad, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? Thank you for having me.
Yes, exactly. How are you doing? The last time I saw you is we were spending some time at the AFL, and then were you at the poker game after? I don't remember.
No, I was hanging out in the general area. I wasn't actually playing, but I was sort of hanging out and catching up with old friends. So for me, I think it was just tough to kind of, you know, be locked in sitting at a poker table with basically all the best baseball minds around. So I just wanted to have conversation and sort of made my way around the room, so to speak.
That's true. I just wanted to take everyone's money. So that was my problem. I didn't care about it. I'm sitting next to Erickson and Sporer, and I'm just getting pissed, and they're trying to bully me around. What the hell am I supposed to do? Vlad, what's going on in your world right now? You know, there's a lot of different places that people can find you. There's a lot of content out there that you kind of live in. But what is the thing that people should be honing in on when they're following at RotoGut? What should they be looking for?
You know, to be honest, a lot of my stuff is I'm just speaking with people directly and posting things on Twitter because my regular column with RotoWire, the barometer, it starts a few weeks before the season. So that'll start to get going soon enough with risers and fallers. I'll be, continuing to do work with Guru Elite on the DFS content, of course. But right now I am like buried, head in the research right now, just preparing for my drafts. Got a couple of big ones coming up. Rob Silver, the aforementioned, and I are sharing a platinum team in the NFBC, which is the highest entry fee that there is. Ooh. And then I just drafted my first RotoWire online championship team in the NFBC, which is my favorite format. It's a 12-teamer. That pays first and second and also offers a $100,000 prize.
I just can't even – I mean, when I think about it, like I'm getting like tongue-tied, like even just trying to like come up with the words. Bogman and I always use this analogy of – remember the guy Boggs? He hits us up like in a private message. This was because we do, you know, all the sports. It was a fantasy
basketball guy?
Yeah. What was it? It was like $25,000.
The entry fee was $5,000 or something like that. He's like, hey, I want to ask you guys a question about this. And I was like, I don't even want to answer your question.
No, I was like, go somewhere else.
If you're betting you have $5,000 on a league, like, I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't want to answer your question on a podcast.
Well, clearly your decision making is horrible because you're listening to us. So like you're not in the right you're not in the right mind. So I assume you know people who know people and can find the bottom of a lake. So I don't want to deal with that. I do want to ask one thing real quick. I see this on your Twitter handle, Vlad, and I'm not sure if this is something I know about you, and you probably hate it. Are you an auctioneer?
So my day job is I work in real estate online auctions, and so I am behind a computer. I'm selling properties and talking to clients over the phone and an email. But we do have some old school auctioneers who go around the country. They're all based out of Texas.
Oh,
they have great
God.
Accents. And they do it, man. They are like serious business. Unfortunately, I do not have that auctioneer.
Oh, my God. That's all I wanted.
I just have to ask you, like, have you ever hit one up to come and do a baseball auction for you?
No, Scott Genstead and I, we actually ran the annual auction the last couple of years for the Stopa League, which is hosted by Mark Stopa. It's got all the Yahoo writers and RotoWire owners and writers. They do an annual league that Mark Stopa actually puts in $15,000 of his own money, no entry fee for any of the players. They do a football auction every year, and Mark just gives out the money. He's a good guy, but he's a rich lawyer, and so we got to run the auction for that, but outside of that, not much auction experience.
Oh my God. I mean, I can just my head just spinning of all the ideas of video content you could do with an auctioneer, just all the amazing things you could do. Well, I highly suggest anyone that's not, make sure you're following Vlad. There's great information out there. And I mean, it just gives me you give me anxiety because you are involved around so many important things with so much money. Like you and Rob, like you guys are too intelligent to spend time with us, but I'm glad that you do. Break me down before we get into any specific questions. Just give me a nutshell of explain to a layman how the high stakes fantasy baseball like really kind of flows. Like, is there a lot of crap talking? Is the intensity driven up so much? You know, I'm a poker player. I was a poker player. I shouldn't say I am. I'm definitely not anymore. But one of the biggest pieces of advice I got when I, you know, first started getting into it many years ago, it wasn't online. I was in the casinos, was you have to find the detachment from your money to truly ever be successful. If you're attached to the money at any point, you're going to make decisions based on that money, and that is going to be one of your biggest downfalls. I assume there's something similar. So can you distinguish the differences, even if it's at that granular level, between high stakes and just, you know, standard 100, 150 buck league that people do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't – I think anybody that – you know, and for me, I play high stakes baseball for the most part in the NFBC, the National Fantasy Baseball Championship. And honestly, to me, I think, you know, high stakes can be somewhat of a misnomer, because I mean, you can include those $350 online championships, those 12 teamers. I mean, that's sort of where the line begins. But I mean, even in those leagues, you're going to find people that are basically throwing $350 in the trash and don't really know what they are doing. And I've been in some main event leagues, the $1,600 ones. We had one where a guy was just in town in Vegas, and he was just some high roller and saw a fantasy baseball draft going on. And so he was allowed to join and play, and he was basically burning money too. And so, you know, no matter where you go, I think, you know, anybody that is, you know, comfortable with the specific format and with NFBC, I remember my first year was just really, really tough. You know, the first time being in a live draft and being so nervous around some of the best guys in the world. Like, you know, I knew at the time who Lindy Hinkleman was and Dave Potts and, you know, Steven Jupinka, who were, you know, some of the best players around. And you just get comfortable as the years go. You sort of figure out what your format is. But, you know, honestly, these are some of the nicest guys in the world. There's not a lot of, you know, not a lot of crap talking that's going on mid-draft. I know some guys are quieter than others in terms of, you know, sharing what they do or players they like, of course. I pretty much, you know, my shtick is I sort of put it, I wouldn't say all of it, but I put almost all of it out there. And you know what I've got going on, and I'm still going to try to beat you with you knowing with what I have. And so it's fun. It's absolutely amazing. But there's outside of those 350s that people can do online, there's absolutely nothing better than the NFBC main event live in Vegas the week before the draft starts. They have them in New York as well. You're sitting with the best of the best. You've got your draft software, your piece of paper, and your cheat sheets, and you're just going at it. I mean, there's nothing better than that in the world.
Man, I feel like you remember in Kingpin when Randy Quaid walks in, he's like, man, it's kind of intimidating being around all these world famous athletes, and it's just a bunch of dudes smoking cigarettes, you know, and hanging out. I kind of feel like that sounded like when the first time you're at NFBC. Man, this is intimidating. But everyone's just a baseball nerd. You know, everyone's just a normal guy.
Just deeper pockets.
Right, right. Just, I mean, just more experience, deeper pockets, you know what they're doing, all that kind of stuff. How many high stakes leagues do you do per year? Do you do like four or five, or is it like, you know, like Justin Mason who does like 78 leagues, but they're all just high stakes?
No, I try to I tell myself every year I'm going to do less and less. You know, so obviously I'm in Tout Wars. I always play the CDM salary cap game, which the Diamond Challenge, which I've started playing in the early 2000s. And that's where I really sort of got my start. But, you know, with NFBC, it's essentially the only format the only game that I play. And these are, you know, your standard no trade leagues, 5x5 roto. And a $1,000 free agent budget, you know, fake free agent budget. And so I'll usually do 3 to 5 of those $350 online championship teams. I always plan for 2, but what happens is once you kind of get that taste, that taste of your lips of drafting, you're like, man, I just got to squeeze in another one. Man, I need to get me a Harper team, or I need to do this. And so there's that. I do those, but my main team is usually I do one main event team, one of those $1,600 ones. This year, I'm going to do one of those. I'm splitting a main online with Matt Modica, and then also jumping into the Platinum this year. So I'll have 3 sort of major leagues that will be my concentration. But because I love the 12-team format and I figure that I'm pretty good at it, I'm going to stick with those online championships and do about 3 of those this year.
Do you have like any type of metric you work through? Because I'm really trying to – and I hope I'm not making it like weird for some people listening. Like at the end of the day, this is fantasy baseball. It is fantasy baseball. So a lot of people are like, why are you making it so much like it's poker? But to me – there is an element when you think of this high stakes ability where it's just like a poker player where you're going to set your odds and you got to have a certain return probably on any given year to keep playing through. And, you know, if you're playing in the 350s and the big ones, I mean, how do you end up, you know, doing the full spread to make sure you're covered properly? And are you finding yourself having a plus return, you know, let's say you've been doing it for 8 years, you know, at least 50% of those years, 4 or 5 of those years.
Well, I don't do it that way in terms of poker. Like, my goal is obviously I'd like to win the league, but I'm always shooting for that overall prize for the $150,000 in the main, the $100,000 in the online championship. And I've just been, I don't want to say lucky, but it's definitely partially lucky that I've been profitable 6 years straight. And in that 12-team online format, there's about 2,000 people that play every year. So I've finished top 20 overall in 3 of the past 4 years. So I've had some good success. And I think a lot of it is similar to poker, is sort of being able to read the room. In this case, it's, you know, the other players and basically the draft. Sort of not being too locked into a specific plan or your players, because your players are always going to get jacked. You need to have contingency plans for each round, getting a feel for, as you're drafting, you know, what type of positions do I need or categories am I short in that I sort of need to, you know, figure out. And so and of course, the other thing is knowing full well that things like pitching is always going to get pushed up. You know, you're, no matter what an ADP of someone is, you can best be sure that if somebody wants them in the second round and it's a third round player, they're going to go ahead and grab them in the second round. And you know, you're basically SOL.
Okay, so this is a good setup here. I'm going to set us up before we go to break here. We got a couple minutes, so don't worry. You don't need to, you know, hurry or anything like that. We still got like at least 3 minutes. Give me just a basic premise in drafting and what you see, whether it's you want to focus on or overall. But do you see an overall, like, added risk, like there's more risk because of the high stakes nature of it? And people, you know, if people are spending $1,600 in a league, usually money isn't that much of a concern. So, you know, you're taking your shots. It's same thing as poker again. Do you see more risk? Do you see what I would think would be way more holding it to the vest, being way, way less risk averse? People are going for the sure things. What's that overall perception you see, and how do you approach those leagues? And then we'll talk about maybe more detailed stuff on the other side of the break.
Yeah, I think the beauty is that everybody is different. I think people approach things differently. Some people are just, you know, they want to win their league, and then, you know, come the All-Star break, they're starting to look at where they stack up in terms of an overall competition. But, you know, it really just depends. I think, you know, upside is really the name of the game. You know, you'll see a lot of the sort of boring, unsexy players, the Kyle Seegers, the DJ LeMahieu's of the world. Those guys are always available later on because essentially, you know, for the most part, if they're not getting hurt, you pretty much know what you're getting. You know, what type of stats are you getting? 10, you know, maybe 10 homers from LeMahieu, a few steals, 90 to 100 runs and an average over 300. If that's what you need at that point in the ninth round of a 15 teamer, then so be it. You sort of have that planned. But I think it's, you know, people, you're going to see the Acunas of the world get pushed up. You know, it's just sort of the way it is. Upside is really the name of the game. It all is different. For me, I just don't want to make that mistake in the first round. I remember, you know, a few years back when Ellsbury basically got injured right away, I ended up with the 15th pick. Started with Ellsbury. I wouldn't say my season was done right away, but it's a really big, you know, really sort of stings when your first round pick goes down early. And so, you know, really want to sort of, you know, The first round always has a 40 to 50% bust rate. So really sort of playing it safe earlier, getting a nice base, and then building based on upside later on, I think is the way to go.
I like it. And Bogman, can you imagine too, like you and I have owned teams before, and we've done a couple $100 and stuff like that. But can you imagine, like, real quick, actually, Vlad, have you ever had your friendship tested, you know, putting down a grand or two with another guy?
League? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my old partner of mine, obviously we're still buddies.
You said old,
yeah, right.
No. We're still buddies. My old buddy, Ronnie Moore, Cali Cartel. There was a time we drafted a main event team live in Vegas. And I remember it was like some 28th round pitcher. And we were just arguing over it. I think it just was a tough draft. At a certain point, I just got up and just walked away. I just couldn't take it for the moment. I was mad at him for drafting Corey Hart too early earlier on, and Corey Hart ended up missing the whole year.
So,
I mean, it's fine. We got over it.
At least you have to hang that over his head for the rest of the
Exactly.
Year,
you can always hold Corey Hart overhead. We always had Corey Hart in Vegas. That's what you can say. All right. Well, don't go anywhere. We are joined by Vlad Sedler at Roto Gut. We're talking high-stakes fantasy baseball. Going to get into a little bit more detail, maybe talk about some players on the other side of this break. You're not going to want to miss it. This is In This League. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Welcome back. It's In This League. Chris Welsh, Scott Bogman, joined by Vlad Sedler at RotoGut. We're talking high stakes fantasy baseball, just talking about overall baseball in general. And I'm just intrigued by the whole thing. Maybe someday Bogman and I will make enough money. Maybe they'll just keep extending. At this point, if FNTSY just keeps asking us to do more hours, if we can get to like 12 hours a day, possibly we could ever do a $1,600
every day.
League. Yeah.
Right.
I would love to do a league where Bogman and I could potentially ruin our friendship that we've had for 25 years.
We did that in our $50 league last year, so
yeah.
I don't know if a $1,600 league we could do together. So
you know what, the one way to possibly make it happen, it's worked in the past, is you know, one guy's in charge of the draft, other guy's in charge of free agent bidding.
Oh, I like that. I like that, but yeah, the problem is the friendship would end in figuring out who does the draft. That would be the problem. But you know, to our credit though,
we would call it rock paper fist fight.
Exactly. Or just like we'll just drink until one person's standing and that person gets to do the draft. Probably like an hour later, right after that. But the couple times we did do drafts, the one thing we did well was we were able to counteract the insanity of the other. So it did work out, but $1,600 would be too much. All right, so let's pick back up with it. Vlad Sedler, Bogman, why don't you kick us off here? We're still talking some high stakes fantasy baseball.
I just want to know, like, an overall strategy going into these leagues, Vlad. And, you know, we talked off air and you've only drafted one league. So I don't want you to go and give out your entire strategy or who you're taking in what rounds or any of that type of thing.
But who are you taking and what is your strategy is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. All I want to know is who are your exact favorite players and who will you definitely own? No, what do you have a general strategy going in, and do most people do the same thing or are they different? Does anybody draft it like a normal league? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I try not to get too locked in beforehand, but what I do is I spend a lot of time in the months prior building my own projections. And so I have my software built in where I'm seeing the difference between players in ADP and where I have them ranked. And so during the draft, I'll sort of play that game where okay, I like, you know, let's say a couple years ago, Yasmani Grandal, I've got him ranked as a sixth overall catcher and he's going the 12th. So I don't want to take him as the sixth overall catcher because I'm, you know, basically taking him many rounds early. So I'm sort of playing that game of draft chicken and figuring out, okay, I still want to get him, but before anyone else does, you know, that sort of that sweet spot. And that's what I do throughout the whole draft. It almost feels like, you know, like painting a canvas, so to speak. Like I've got my draft software up. I see what my base is, how I got started, You know, like in the first draft, I got started with Stanton and Freddie Freeman in the 12 teamer. And so, you know, at that point, I'm like, okay, so don't have any steals. It's something I'm going to have to be conscious of. And so, you know, I bit on Buxton in the fifth because I didn't want to go the Billy Hamilton route. D. Gordon was already gone. And I didn't want to, you know, have to try to figure it out with the Jonathan VRs and the Malik Smiths later. And so, you know, I think personally, as a lot of people are saying this year, as it's been the last couple of years, that power is just so abundant. You know, last year we saw guys off of free agent bidding, guys like Ryan Zimmerman, who was not drafted or basically drafted towards the end, Justin Smoak, you know, Logan Morrison hit even 38 home runs. I mean, these guys you're just able to pick up off waivers. So homers will be available. Steals are a little tougher to come by. And so I'm definitely conscious of that when I steal or when I draft. And then finally, whip to me is very important. I think getting a nice base with a couple of strong starting pitchers, anchors that'll hold down my ratios. I've just sort of noticed my own weakness with whip, especially as the season goes. And I'm noticing I'm picking up a lot of those two starters in a week guys, right. You know, who are going to end up, you know, decimating my ratios. And so I want to have that good whip base. And, you know, there's only really so few of them. I'd like to definitely be sure to get a couple of those as well.
You know, going back to stolen bases, I think it's just such a divisive thing this year. And as you kind of alluded to and how people are approaching it, I think we're just actually coming. It's good that we're talking about this. We're coming off the heels literally just yesterday. If people haven't checked it out, we just did our Roto mock draft, our live Roto mock episode where you guys can listen to us draft the 15-man Roto. And Roto in general has, you know, basic strategies that you're going to do over head to head. You know, pitching is going to be valued a little bit better. People are going to be careful. Obviously, you want your stolen bases, but caring about your average. Is it heightened a little bit? Like, I guess I'm saying get your mind in the really big high stakes one. Do you think you're going to find yourself? You said you don't want to mess with the Billy Hamiltons, but do you think you're going to be more aggressive with stolen bases on these guys that are getting you the, you know, the 15, the 20, maybe the 30s, maybe not the elite guys? Are you going to be more aggressive in these high stakes ones to lock it down? Or are you going to find yourself just so cognizant of every other piece of the Roto that you're not going to fall into the trap?
I think it all just depends on how these drafts end up shaking out. You know, and I have to just take that approach, be ready to, you know, to sort of pivot when I need to, because, you know, I'm looking at it at this and, you know, I've only got 8 or 9 guys who I'm expecting to steal 30 plus bases. Of those, only 3 of those guys, you know, with 50 plus steals projected, and that's a first round Trey Turner. He's literally, you've got to be like the number 4 pick to get him. A D. Gordon in the late second, early third, who's probably going to get pushed up a little bit, or a Billy Hamilton, who's just necessarily not even a very good hitter and not somebody I want to spend a 5th round pick on. After that, all these guys like Marte, Buxton, Shields, even Jose Peraza, maybe a little sneaky later on. Same with Bradley Zimmer. Like, I'm just, you know, I'd like to have a couple of those guys, but if I'm not starting off with heavy steals, I'm definitely cognizant throughout the draft as I go, because there are a whole bunch of guys that are going to get you the 15 to 25, you know, all those guys in that range that you can pick up, like a Benintendi, Margot, you know, even Will Myers steals, you know, 15 to 20 bases a year. I mean, there are guys along the way that'll help you there. And so that's sort of the safer approach, the more risk averse approach, because God forbid something happens to your, you know, you take D. Gordon in the third, something happens to him. And if you don't have a backup plan, if you don't have a, you know, somebody like a VR or Malik Smith down the road and everything goes right with them where they steal you the 50 bases, you know, you're chasing stolen bases all year.
What about the Diamondbacks here? Because the humidor is going in. Are you someone that is kind of deflating the value of Diamondbacks hitters because of the humidor? Or
it's really kind of a Goldie question, right? Like, doesn't it always come down to Goldie? Is.
Yeah, but there are people that like Pollock and Lamb. And, you know, just because we don't usually – I mean, I hate Pollock. But, yeah, as far as fantasy goes, I love him as a real player. But I – yeah, Goldie in the first round, where are you moving him, and is it kind of making you bump the rest of the guys down or maybe not even take him?
So I have a little special thing with Goldie. Well, first of all, in the FSTA draft that I do every year with Charlie Wiegert, the Godfather, back in January, I mean, we pretty much had that middle round first pick, you know, in the middle round the last 3 years. And until this year, we had taken Goldie 3 straight years. And then last year in the NFBC main event, I actually ended up winning my league. I actually blew them out of the water by about 25 points over second place. They basically gave me a gift in that league. So Goldie was like, what, sixth, seventh in ADP. He fell to me at 13.
That's
I had
crazy.
No even thought, you know. So the whole year, Judstad, all these guys just making fun of me, like, dude, Vlad, you're so lucky. Only you would get somebody like Goldie 13th overall. And so every year, you know, it's something, it's new. Like, because doesn't matter what Goldie did for me last year, this year is a whole new animal. And to me, you know, I mean, this isn't personal. This is business. I'm, you know, trying to win. And to me, you know, he is a sort of at the end of the first round type of guy. Even before the Humidor info came in, I had my projections for him and the rest of the Diamondbacks. And I had him a little, you know, he had a sort of an outlier year with home runs. 36 last year was a career high. He hit 24 the year before. I'm guessing even with the Humidor, which I'm not too overly concerned with, I like the Humidor more for the pitchers there. I've still got him for 28 home runs or so. He's still going to be a guy that's going to get you about hit you 300, a really safe player. So I don't mind him. But what I'm seeing is, you know, Goldschmidt got pushed in that 12-team draft that I did the other day. He went 15th overall. So he's starting to slip a little bit because, you know, it was J.D. Martinez 14th right after the Red Sox signing, Goldie 15th, and you've got Chris Bryant 16 and Freeman 17. Like, these are good guys. So if you think about it, you have an eighth pick in the first round, and you grab a Harper or a Betts or a Stanton, and you pair it with one of those guys, you've got an incredible start.
That's wild. That's wild to me. I mean, I'm excited to see how it goes down because I've got – I mean, I don't want to – we could spend a whole show, when people have, talking about the Humidor. It is wild. But, you know, something that translates here is you're talking about projections. And, again, we did that whole episode with Rob. And I don't want to say, hey, give me all your projections or anything like that. But it kind of works well because you've been hinting at a player a couple times because I was going to ask you – you got a player that's really jumped out in your projections that people should know about, but I feel like you've mentioned Malik Smith multiple times, and I know...
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
Subconsciously.
Yeah, exactly, like twice. But I saw it a lot on Twitter, and for obvious points, as Steven Souza gets shipped off to the Diamondbacks, they did pick up Carlos Gomez, so, you know, there's a situation you're looking at in Tampa Bay where they've got Denard Span, Kiermaier, Malik Smith, and then Carlos Gomez. How are you viewing Malik Smith? Is he one of your projection guys that jumps out to you as like a late round must?
He does. I think he's finally going to get some more playing time. He's almost 25 years old. He was, you know, toiling in the Padres and Braves minor league systems for so long. He's always had problems getting on base, and that's really the thing. If he can really sort of figure it out, and we'll watch that this spring. Obviously, we want a guy with a walk rate better than 8%. He's done so bad. You know, he's shown flashes of that in the past. But, you know, for me, I'm looking at those rabbits. They're really valuable to me in the back half of the draft because steals are going to be tough to come by. And this is a guy that can essentially steal in his sleep. If he's getting 150 games, you're looking at a guy that can potentially steal 40 plus bases. And even, you know, potentially even hit, you know, whatever. It's not going to be like a D. Gordon giving you zero or one home runs. He can actually probably hit you a couple. And so I think at that point, the real thing being careful is if you have too many of those rabbits, is being careful of not playing too many of them at the same time so you're not hurting your power and getting overtaken by other teams in the home run and RBI categories playing them at the same time.
Glad, I'd like to read you a tweet here and get your reaction to it. It's your tweet, actually. Hot take, Carlos Carrasco out-earns Corey Kluber this year by a slim margin, but still.
Woo, yeah. Baby. Woo. I want to hear it.
That is a hot take.
Yeah, and you know what? I probably didn't even need that qualifier at the end. It's just, you know, sort of when I was breaking it down and doing my projections, like I just – think that Carrasco is going to have a healthy season and make it through. He did hit 200 innings last year for the first time. Pretty good season with a FIP lower than his ERA. And this is a guy that once had a 2.55 ERA back in 2014, despite, you know, it only being part of the time as a reliever and only 14 starts that year. But yeah, I don't know. There's just some sort of feeling I have, this really weird feeling that, you know, hey, the gut is wrong a lot, or my gut is wrong a lot, but I just feel something wrong about that top tier of starting pitchers where I think some stuff's going to go down and things are going to go wrong. And it's bad to be ominous like that. But, you know, I like Sale. The rest of the guys I have concerns about. And for me, there's just something, you know, about the way Kluber starts in early April, almost like uncanny every year, how bad he is usually in spring training and in April. And I think it's just going to be close. I think, you know, Carrasco just sort of edges him out, has that type of career year, and is a really good guy you could start your team with, where you're getting at 30 to 35 overall, as opposed to Kluber, where at some time you have to pick, you know, pay a 14th overall pick for.
It's funny that you say that, because I'm very against the high-end pitching this year. I just don't want to really be a part of it unless you get a deal. And guess what? You don't ever get a deal on any of those guys, because as soon as one goes and a couple other guys, their plans were broken and they want to take Scherzer. And they want to take Kluber. So I'm much more in this game. The 30-40s is a place that I'm going to, you know, dip my toe in, trying to get Syndergaard. I usually don't find myself with Carrasco, but I can buy it. You kind of alluded to this, and maybe you can qualify it again, though. Is this more about Carrasco having the better year, or is this more about Kluber coming off of that, like, clear SP1 ace status?
I think it's about Carrasco stepping up a little bit. He just, you know, in all my, you know, in my model, I basically have him up there, you know, among those top eight guys. And for me, it's a matter of the bats that I'm getting that I feel more comfortable with around where Kluber goes. The, you know, the aforementioned Freddie Freeman's and Goldschmidt's and Chris Bryant's. As opposed to the bats that are going around where Carrasco, DeGrom, and Severino go, I'm not as comfortable with those guys. And, you know, hey, I got lucky that I grabbed Cody Bellinger a week early on my main event team and helped me out all year for basically, you know, $4 in free agent bidding. But now he's a second overall, you know, second round pick, early third round pick. Like, you know, I he could end up having a great season, but that's not a price that I want to pay for him. And so, you know, I love those starting pitchers. I mean, I could even wait for a Greinke or Robbie Ray if I really had to, and really sort of load up on hitters early. That's just something I'm going with this year. When it comes to the actual drafts, who knows what happens? It's just a matter of, you know, who's taken before me and how it's played out.
Do we get Where do closers go in those high stakes drafts?
Yeah, we only got about a minute.
So I think it's, you know, the Kenley Jansen, Craig Kimbrell sort of in a class by themselves. You've got Corey Knebel is next, along with Chapman. But, you know, those top two guys go, you know, anywhere between 40 to 55 overall. And then you're getting into the, you know, Felipe Rivero's, Wade Davis's. Those are going anywhere between 70 to 100 overall. But hey, in that high stakes format, people grab who they want. And, you could see somebody like a Blake Treinen getting taken 100th overall if somebody really loves him and believes in him.
Man, so when's your big dog? When is it? Is it, you said it's is it a week before the season?
Yeah, so it's March, you know, it's in Vegas, March 23rd. A lot of guys from your station are going to be there. Always my favorite weekend of the year. Can't wait for it. Should be a blast. And so I'll have my software and projections hopefully ready to roll and ready to win some money.
Yeah, baby, I love it. All right, well, go follow him on Twitter, at RotoGut. And you can have a bunch of great stuff over at Guru Elite this year, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, that's right. Guru Elite, RotoWire, and some stuff on Baseball HQ as well.
Okay, I love it. All right, my friend. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out for us. You're a busy man, important man, winning hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, Bogman and I are over here fighting over $10 bets to eat garlic or olives. It's ridiculous. Vlad, we love you, man. I wish you would come out here more, but even if it's just for the first pitch conference, we'll take it.
Great to hear from you guys. Great to talk to you. Have
All
a good
right.
one.
All right. Well, don't go anywhere. Hour two coming up. More In This League, more baseball coverage. So you're not going to want to miss it. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, In This League. We'll be back.